Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Let's take a trip now to a river in Japan, where wildlife biologist Jeff Corwin makes the catch of a lifetime.
For 50 years, there's been one creature that has haunted me, and I've come to find it here. Deep in the mountains of Kyoto, in a river known as Kyotoki, which literally means pure falls. And it's in these cold, pristine, highly oxygenated waters where one of the most mysterious creatures lives, a creature I've waited my whole life to find, the giant Japanese salamander. This river is absolutely spectacular. We have this verdant landscape. These almost bonsai-like trees are folding, bridging above our heads. There are rapids, cascades, and waterfalls. I'm with Kanto-san. He's a professor of biology, a salamander master with the University of Kyoto, and his assistant, Kanta. This river twists and winds through this remote rocky landscape. The water is cold and it is crystal clear, but surprisingly, we're not seeing any salamanders. And that's probably because they're endangered.
Yes, endangered and threatened.
Why are they threatened?
Because human destroys the habitat for them, so they have nowhere to live.
And Kanta, yeah. These salamanders, they really need healthy, clean waters.
Exactly. Their skin is very sensitive to pollution, and if there are toxins and bad chemicals in the water, they're going to be the first to react.
Yes, yes. Pollution is a big problem.
But the good news today, this river is healthy, and supposedly there are salamanders here, and we need to find them. And to do that, we're going to turn over rocks and look in every hole we find until we discover one of these giant Japanese salamanders. All right, let's search.
All right.
Okay.
So we're just flipping over rocks like this. A lot of these rocks are pancake-shaped. They're very flat, and they're very heavy. And strategically, what the salamander does is he tucks his way under those rocks. He's hidden from predators, but then he becomes the ultimate predator. Kanto, what are these salamanders feeding on?
Fish, crab, and some insects.
So we'll continue our search, and hopefully,
yes,
we will find one of these salamanders.
Oh, here. There's a salamander. Here.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, look.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
So right under this rock.
Yes.
It's right there.
Yeah.
You can see it. It is an absolute giant. This salamander, it's huge. The salamander is wedged under this rock. So
yes.
I'm going to, Kanto-san, put the net in front of the head like this.
Yes. Okay, good.
And then?
And touch the tail of
the
salamander. Yeah, softly.
I've got net in front of his face.
Yes.
And I'm going to touch the tail.
Yes.
Slowly, methodically, he crawls.
Yes.
It's like a hippopotamus with the tail.
Oh, yes.
He crawls his way into the net.
Yes, okay.
And now we've
got
a giant salamander.
Good job.
Now what do we do?
Yeah, next we're going to measure them, weigh them, and then check their microchip tags.
Okay, so we found our way to the edge of this beautiful stream. And we've got this gray-colored pipe. It's actually half of pipe. And it's graduated. It has these different lines which basically give us the measurement. So we slide the salamander in. And so the measurements here, I see...
It's kind of squirming.
It's a very squirmy.
Yeah.
And it's very slimy. So we're measuring it out, and the tail comes to about 82 centimeters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is almost a 3-foot-long salamander.
Yeah.
The most amazing characteristic about these salamanders is that they have lived on our planet practically unchanged for many, many millions of years. Before the age of dinosaurs, these creatures were roaming the waters of the world. But today, there are only 3 species remaining.
Yeah.
And where are the 2 other ones found?
Another from China.
The giant Chinese salamander.
And the hellbender from USA.
In the United States, we have the giant hellbender. a salamander like this, but smaller in size, up to 1.5 to 2 feet in length, named the hellbender because they would frighten those folks who discovered it. But this is a harmless creature. It's not aggressive.
Yeah.
No. It's not dangerous.
Exactly.
So we've got these measurements. What's next?
We're going to check for microchip tags that we might have embedded.
So we have this wand, and as we wave this wand over near the shoulder area, this number comes up, 00075A36. Where did that number come from?
This individual we collected last year.
You've discovered him before?
Yes.
That means for however long this salamander lives, and it could live for how long?
At least 60 years.
60 years.
At least.
If science continues and scientists study this creature, they'll always know who he is. And because we have this microchip identification, we can compare the measurements of today with the measurements of before. So we know who this guy is. What else do you need?
Yeah. Next, we take the DNA samples from the animal.
What do you hope to learn?
To identify this is a true, pure Japanese giant salamander or not.
What else could it be?
Now, many Chinese giant salamander in the Japan.
So today, living in these rivers, the giant Japanese salamander is not the king.
Yeah.
There are other salamanders
now. Competing.
Competing with giant Chinese salamanders. The giant Chinese salamander is larger and more aggressive than the Japanese species.
Yeah.
How are they out competing?
They're fighting for the nest, for breeding. Yeah.
They're fighting for the nesting.
Nest, they're very territorial in the breeding season.
And they're also crossbreeding, aren't they, Kanta?
Yeah. In several rivers in Kyoto Prefecture, there are many hybrids right now between the Japanese giant salamander and the Chinese giant salamander.
So the challenge for this species and the scientists trying to save it is to keep its genetics pure.
Yes.
As a Japanese giant salamander.
Yeah, exactly.
And unfortunately, with the invasive species, Chinese salamanders, out-competing and outbreeding the native ones. How did the giant Chinese salamanders get here?
Probably for the food or pet.
People brought them from China as food?
Yeah, imported from China.
But today, in Japan, the giant Japanese salamander, it's protected, isn't it?
Yes, yes. So now very difficult to import.
Kanto-san and Kanta, for over 1,000 years, the Japanese giant salamander has been the fodder for legends and folklore. And some have even argued that this is the original dragon.
Yeah, maybe.
And for the people of Japan, what place does the salamander hold?
Japanese giant salamander is protected as a national monument, so totally protected.
We normally reserve that for landscapes or places of culture and education and science. What the bald eagle is to America, the salamander is for you.
Exactly,
yeah.
Why do you study the salamander?
It's very important for the ecosystem in Japanese river because it's the top of the food chain. So if we protect giant salamander, we can protect all the creatures in the river system.
By protecting the giant Japanese salamander.
Yeah. And their habitat.
And their habitat.
Yes,
it becomes an umbrella, protecting all the species under it. And Kanta, it's also an indicator species, isn't it?
The giant Japanese salamander has a very sensitive skin. Toxins and chemicals in the river will affect them immediately.
So, in a way, this is a canary in the coal mine for this ecosystem. Because if the salamander is in trouble, so is the entire living community where it thrives. But the good news today is because of this work, this salamander, this species, is surviving.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have one last thing to do.
Yeah, we must get back to the nature.
Get back to the nature. Yeah. And before we do that, Kanto-san is taking out a scale.
Yeah.
What's that say?
4.93 kilograms. So that would be a little bit over 10 pounds.
A 10-pound salamander that lived even before the time of dinosaurs. And this is why, for me, experiencing the salamander was checking off a big moment on the Jeff Corwin bucket list. So back to the waters it goes.
All right.
We open the net. And there it goes. Out comes this giant salamander. Back to the ecosystem where it belongs, where it has lived for millions of years, where it has built up the culture of Japan for over 1,000 years. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Arigato.
Arigato gozaimasu.
Jeff Corwin is a wildlife biologist and host of ABC's Ocean Treks. Now, as Jeff mentioned, the Japanese giant salamander is considered a special natural monument in Japan. They can grow to almost 5 feet long. Jeff and his crew obtained special permission from the Japanese Agency for Cultural Affairs to record with biologists Kanto-san and Kanta during a habitat survey outside of Kyoto, Japan. Now, before we leave, I've got a little bit of bad news. Caitlin Elizabeth O'Keefe, Radio Boston's own fire-haired Irish warrior princess, is leaving the show. We're going to miss her intelligence, her determination, her warmth, and her incredible ability to take the hottest of hot mess interviews and turn them into something wonderful to listen to. But the good news is, she's just moving a couple of cubes away over to WBUR's iLab to work on our fabulous Modern Love podcast, so she's not going to be going far, and you'll still be able to listen to her tremendous work every week. Thank you, Caitlin, for everything. We know you'll have a terrific time on Modern Love. That's it for this week, everyone. Have a restful weekend. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.